you would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We'll begin in verse 24. Jesus is here speaking, and Jesus says this: "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon meaning money or material possessions. "Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor yet for your body what you will put on. Is not life more than meat, and your body than clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Why do you take thought for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They do not toil, neither do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what will we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise that is here for you to provide for us and care for us, but also the direction that you give for our lives to seek first your kingdom. Father, it's my prayer that those who do not know you would be saved this morning, that you and your grace would draw them to salvation by your Spirit. And Father, that you would turn each heart from the mammon of this world, and that we would truly all be seeking first your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. For those of y'all who are just joining us this morning, we've been looking at marriage and doing a little study on marriage. And today we're talking about what is considered the most common marital problem, which is finances. If you were to research, and this is true in the United States, the number one stated reason for divorce in the United States is financial problems. That is the number one stated reason for divorce. It is very rare that I do marriage counseling and there is a troubled marriage where money is not an issue somewhere in the course of the counseling, the course of the debating, the discussion, etc. However, I can definitively 100% tell you that money is never, has never been, and will never be a marital problem. All money is a catalyst that brings out the real issue. Money is not the problem. We know this because no matter how poor you may be or how wealthy you may be, the people who have no money still get divorced over no money, and the people who have tons of money still get divorced over no money. There's a lot more you can look at to know that money is not the issue. One, I actually know couples who have very severe marital problems, but the reason they are not divorced is they can't afford it. Okay, so we know money is not the reason people get divorced, because if they didn't have any money, they couldn't afford to pay for the divorce or pay for the lawyer. A couple I think of in particular, they don't live in this area, they still live together, they can only afford one car, so he gets up every morning and drives her to work, even though they can't stand each other, and goes and picks her up after work because they can't afford a second car, they can't afford a second home, they can't afford lawyers, they can't afford divorce. Yet couples get divorced because they don't have money? No, if you didn't have money, you couldn't afford it. It also doesn't take much logic to sit down and go, wait a minute, you have one income or two incomes that are used together to pay for one life, okay, one home, okay, one light bill, etc. And then because you don't have the money, you're then going to take all that and split it in two? Explain how it is financially beneficial to you to have half of your assets taken away from you. The math just doesn't add up. The problem is never money and has never been money. all money does is bring out the far deeper problem. Okay? The far deeper issue is the issue of priorities. You see, the issue is never that he spent money on that. The issue is that you wanted to spend the money on something else. The issue is that the money that was spent, you have a better way to spend the money. And you say, well, I know what it is. If we could just double the money, then we wouldn't have any fights anymore. And that's what the American mindset is. The reason we're fighting is because we have to live on such a measly amount of money. If we could just work ourselves to death, which ruins your marriage, but if we could work ourselves to death and have more money, then we wouldn't have any problems. The problem is that the couples who are millionaires still get divorced over financial issues. Because you think that if you got the new Ford, you'd be happy. They just think if they got the new Lamborghini, they'd be happy. And the fights still continue. Hey, this is why, by the way, financial compromises never work. I've had couples in my office fighting over as little as $1.59. I had one couple one time that was arguing over $20. At least that's what they said. But I know they weren't arguing over 20 bucks because I was there and they started getting this really big fight and kind of forgot that I was there. Okay, they're sitting in my office and they're fighting with each other. And I said, whoa, I'll give you both 20 bucks to shut up. Okay? So they were fighting over 20 bucks. And now, and in their mind, if I had the 20 bucks to spend the way I wanted to, we wouldn't fight. And if you had, so I offered to give them both 20 bucks and they still kept fighting. I offered to double their money. No. Because the issue is an issue of priority. For one person, they prioritize retirement and savings and security. For the other person, they prioritize vacations and fun. For one person, they prioritize hunting. The other person prioritizes drapes. One person prioritizes cars. The other one prioritizes furniture. One prioritizes food and eating healthy. The other prioritizes exercise and the gym membership. And each person has their own sense of priorities. And it's funny because people come into my office and they come like this. Okay, they all come with their priorities and their arguments on finance, and they come like this and they go, now, Pastor, don't you agree? They all started that way. Don't you agree that we should take care of our bodies and eat healthy? How can you say you don't agree with that? But if I say, of course we should take, I told you we should spend our money and eat healthy. They come in, don't you agree that we should pay our bills on time? Don't you agree that we shouldn't live paycheck to paycheck? Don't you agree that you only get one chance to educate your children? Don't you agree that you can't put a price tag on your child's life and health? Don't you agree? And because what it is each person has their own list of priorities. And this is why financial compromises don't work, because you're not asking someone to split money. You're asking someone to rearrange what is most important to them. You are asking someone to change what is a priority in their life. Okay? For the woman, hunting and fishing is not a priority. So why on earth does my crazy husband want to spend so much money on a new rifle? He's already got one. For the man, shoes and purses aren't a priority. My wife's already got 15 pairs of shoes and 4 purses. Why does she need another one? Now, that is the issue. If you're fighting over money, the issue is priorities. That's the issue. Jesus, being the creator of human beings and knowing everything about us, addresses money in a far different way. What he tells us is seek first the kingdom of God. Now, that is in accordance with everything else taught in the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. Why were we created? For God and his glory. What is the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. How did Jesus summarize the Ten Commandments? The greatest commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Throughout all of the scripture, you and I were created for God and his glory, and that is it. You were not created for hunting. You were not created for fishing. You were not created for fashion. You were not created for high heels and purses. You were not created for trucks and Lexuses. You were not created for bigger houses and nicer drapes and nicer furniture. You weren't created for retirement. You weren't created for sex. You weren't created for marriage. You weren't created for children. You were created for God. That is the reason you exist. That is why you exist, is for God and His glory. And when you look at all the teachings of Scripture, Jesus here echoes from what the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, we think of that as, on your list of priorities, God's supposed to be number one. So you get out your blank sheet of paper and you number like 1 through 100, and number one is God, number two is family, number three is, and so you go through that. No, you shall have no other gods before me means there's only one name on the list. You get out your blank sheet of paper, you put one period, you write God, and that's your priorities, and there's nothing else. That's what the first commandment is, and that's what Jesus tells us to do. Jesus tells us to not even make food and water our concern. Now, if you study any type of survival stuff, and you're going to go on a camping trip, and they'll say, you know, a human being can only go 3 days without water, and they can only go, you know, 40 days without food. And so food and water is big. Food and water is big. And Jesus says, don't even worry about water. But Pastor, don't you agree we should all drink some water every once in a while and stay hydrated? Jesus says, don't worry about it. You're to have one priority, and that's God. And that's it. He says, take your list and throw it away. You're to have one priority. Now, this does several things. One, it gets you the purpose for which you were born. The purpose for which God created you is now your priority in life. But when it comes to a marriage, it becomes a unifying principle. I was watching an interview with somebody talking about leadership this past week, and he said that we have to have a principle external to us. We cannot be guided by our internal whims. We have to have a steady rock that is external to us and that guides our decisions. And that is the unifying principle. So it's no longer, if I do this, then she gets her way and I lose the argument. If I do this, then he gets his way and I lose the argument and I can't spend the money. No. We no longer have priorities. We only have one unified priority, and that's God. By the way, if you look at this from the opposite, this, by the way, is how parents sometimes unwittingly, I don't know how to say this nicely, help couples in really bad dating relationships stay together. Because they give the couple a common enemy. And the only reason the couple that everybody in their right mind knows they shouldn't be together, they fight like cats and dogs, the only reason they stay together is because they're both rebelling against their parents. And that's the one thing they have in common is their hatred for their parents. And they got to prove their parents wrong. They have nothing else in common. But what is there? It's the unifying principle outside of themselves. And you can see this. Just look at World War II. I mean, America and Russia. Okay, if you look at every single video game that's ever been invented or every single cartoon, Russia's always the bad guys. And guess who joined forces with the Russians? The United States did. Why? Defeat Germany. And we were able to get along because we had a unified purpose. That is what Jesus is calling us here to. Not a unified hatred for something, but a unified love for something, and that is God Himself. And so what God is saying here is that for our finances and all of our financial decisions and material possessions, we are to have one unified purpose and priority, and that is God. Period. There is no number two. There is no number three. There is no number four. So if you come in my office and say, well, Pastor, don't you agree? No, I don't agree. I think you should live for God. And if God says something should be a priority in your life, then it is. Now, I am not the one who sets the priorities. The husband's not the one who sets the priorities. And the wife's not the one who sets the priorities. God is the one who dictates the priorities. And by the way, he spelled out our priorities very clear in Scripture. This, by the way, is the key to all marital bliss. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is the key. A great book I highly recommend to you is You and Me Forever by Francis Chan. I cannot recommend it highly enough, because in the book, he basically talks about not living for yourself and not living for your marriage, but living for God's kingdom. And that is the key to happiness. What destroys every marriage is selfishness. I want what I want. Here, Jesus says, no, you want what God wants. You make His kingdom your one and only priority. Now, what this enables you to do is make financial decisions without arguing. Why? because this is no longer about what you want to spend the money on versus what I want to spend the money on. This is no longer us taking a limited amount of money and saying, okay, if you get $1,000 for that, then I get $1,000 for this. No, this is not our money. God has entrusted it to us for His kingdom and for His glory. I was talking with Lydia about trying to come up with illustrations of this, and it's really hard to come up with illustrations of this because it's your entire life. It's not one financial decision. It's every decision you make. Well, what type of house should we buy? Well, a house that we can use to be hospitable, that we can use for evangelism. Lydia and I are in the process of buying property and building a house, and that's our dream. And so we're going over house plans yesterday. You know, we had one little problem, and that's where do we put our bedroom? Why? Because we had everything for hosting people and hospitality and having people stay at our home, and that's all there so we can have our neighbors over and share the gospel with them. And that's all there, and then we ran out of space for us. Why? Because the house is about the kingdom. It's not about me. I didn't start with the biggest master bedroom and the biggest master bath and let's find a little place to put the kids. No. It's seek first the kingdom. Whenever we were looking at different pieces of property, it was always, okay, I wonder if these neighbors go to church anywhere. I wonder if the people around this piece of property, do they go to church anywhere? I wonder if they know the Lord. Why? Because wherever we move, wherever we build a home, wherever we buy a home, the purpose is to reach the neighbors with the gospel. That's the purpose. That's why you're here. That's why you exist. When it comes to your bills, you seek first the kingdom. God has given me this money to further the cause of Christ around the world. I only have a couple things in our bank that are on auto draft. They're missionaries. The money just disappears, and I don't touch it. Why? Seek first the kingdom. For me, a priority is our nation. So we have money that comes out of our pocket to go and plant churches in New England. Right? The gospel, it goes to money that comes out of our pocket to go to missionaries around the world. If you were to look at my personal finances, the number one biggest line item, 2 to 3 times bigger than anything else, is money we give away. Why? Well, one, if we had to sit there and decide where we were going to spend the money, we'd fight like cats and dogs. So we just give it away so there's nothing to fight about. We're happy. You can sit there and argue all you want to about the money. You know what? Maybe you should have an agreement. The next time we fight about money, we write a check for that amount of money and send it to a missionary overseas. You'll stop fighting real fast. The priority is to be the kingdom of God. So that when it comes to everything, now, I'll give you an example. My brother, he spent $30,000. Okay, I don't care how rich you are, $30,000 is a lot of money for normal people. To adopt a child. Oh, he must have been unable to have kids. No, he's got 4 other kids. He spent $30,000 to adopt a child from Korea. Why? Because if you study Scripture, the whole of the gospel is we've been adopted into God's family. Well, don't you have enough kids already? No. There's a child. There was a child in Korea that no one wanted. It was abandoned by her mother and abandoned by her family. If you go read Ezekiel 16, that was you. And God came and said, I want you in my home. So they flew all the way to Korea and spent $30,000 to show a little girl that she is wanted and loved by God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Hey, $30,000, no fighting. That's a lot of money. If your husband wanted to go spend $30,000 on a truck, I have a feeling there'd be some hard feelings. They'd just spend it. Why? Seek first the kingdom. I mean, my wife spends enough money every year for me to buy a really nice gun. Buying diapers, not for my kids, but for other people's kids. Why? Well, there's a crisis pregnancy center in town, Sierra. And if the ladies who go in there and they're considering having abortions, if they decide to keep their children,
They will throw them a baby shower and buy them diapers and wipes. Okay, that unborn child bears the image of God. And if I'm pro-life, as God commands me to be, and I'm supposed to care for the fatherless as God commands, then I'll go without the rifle, thank you very much. And I will make sure those kids have clothes. I'm not saying these things to promote me. I'm just saying that's what it means to seek first the kingdom. To seek first the kingdom means, like my brother, he bought a 12-passenger van, which those things, I don't know if you've ever priced them. Most people don't have to price them. But if you ever price them, they're really expensive. He's only got 5 kids. He could have bought a minivan. They're really cheap compared to big vans. Why would you buy a 12-passenger van if you only got 5 kids? Because they're going to adopt a sibling group. Kids that are in the foster care system that nobody wants are that they're going to split up and take from their brothers and sisters. Why? To show the love of God, because you seek first the kingdom of God. That is the key to financial happiness. Lydia and I have never once had an argument about money. Why? Because before we ever got married, our priority was God's kingdom. There never was a debate on whether we're going to help someone or not. The only question was how much. There's never been a debate, are we going to give to missions? The only question is how much are we going to give? That's what it means. And when you have that purpose, and when you are unified around that, there's very little left to argue about. And I would encourage, I know so many of you in here are kids. And you're sitting there and you're dreaming about one day, for a lot of y'all, girls are gross and guys are disgusting. That's good. Keep that up for as long as you can. But there's going to come a day when you're going to say, wow, she's kind of pretty. Well, let me just stop for a minute. Most marital problems happen before you're ever married. Most marital problems happen, and anybody that has their head screwed on straight can see it. Because most people get married for selfish reasons. I want somebody, and guys will never say this out loud, but this is what they're thinking. I want somebody that cooks and cleans for me and she's pretty so I can have sex with her. And the woman's thinking, I want somebody who I can have kids with, and he'll be a good dad, and he'll be handsome, and he'll do all the yard work so I don't have to, and he'll make all the money so I don't have to, and he'll be this great, wonderful guy, and I won't be scared in the middle of the night because he'll get up and do it. He'll kill all the cockroaches and bugs, and that's what the woman thinks. And so you're sitting there as a guy, and you go, wow, she dresses really nice. When you're married, you pay for her to dress really nice. And you're not going to want to. Because you didn't marry her to pay for her to dress nice. You married her because she looks nice and you thought she was pretty. I'm just telling you single people, this is the way it works. And he came in, he had that really nice jacked up truck. When you're married, your income goes for that really nice jacked up truck. And oh, her hair is so pretty. Yeah, it costs $75 for it to look like that. And that comes out of your pocket. Right? And that's cheap, by the way, to get your hair all done up and colors and all of this stuff. And what happens is you're sitting there and your desires are selfish. You're not thinking about God. You're not thinking about the kingdom. You're thinking about yourself and your self-fulfillment. And you don't realize you're marrying somebody just as selfish as you are. And that's why you're going to fight over money. Because he wants the $75 to have the really nice truck, and he thinks you look like that naturally without going to the hairdresser. It doesn't work that way. And so guess what? You'll come in, he'll say, don't you think it's a priority that I have a vehicle that drives? And she's going to say, don't you think it's a priority that we take care of our appearance? And you're going to fight over $75. No, it's not about money. It's about priorities. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at what the Bible says about singleness. Although we're talking about marriage, yes. If you want a happy marriage, it begins when you're single, seeking first the kingdom of God. Faith, that's where it begins. When you are no longer concerned about your selfishness and yourself, but you are seeking God's kingdom. You are seeking to love God, and you are seeking to love your neighbor, and you are seeking to advance the cause of Jesus Christ on this earth. That's when you can have a happy marriage. Why? Because all of your priorities are one. they are the same. So the application of this passage of Scripture is pretty simple. You need to have one priority in your life, and that is God Himself. That is Jesus Christ. That is His kingdom. And you say, well, what about this and what about that? Well, that's not my decision. That's His. He's your priority. God is the one who dictates how your money is spent. God is the one who dictates how everything is supposed to be. You just seek first the kingdom. You just give to advance the kingdom. You make Him your priority. And you know what He promises? He'll take care of everything else. He will take care of absolutely everything else. I talked about this Wednesday night. I used to work construction. And my job was to take what the boss gave me and do what the boss told me to do. And if he told me to build something and there wasn't enough lumber, that's not my problem. That's his problem. And so I said, Joey, I need a 2x12. And then Joey goes and gets me a 2x12. Why? Because I boss him around? No, because he bosses me around. Jesus says, you seek first the kingdom, and God will take care of everything you need. My whole life, from childhood on, has been dictated by this. And I'm one of 7 kids. Most of y'all know that. My dad was a pastor. My dad's first starting salary, full-time, was $6,000 a year. Full-time. Okay? That's not very much money. And yet my parents were able to buy a home. They have zero debt. Okay? They were able to take care of us, always have cars big enough, feed all of us. All 7 of us went to college. In fact, I'm like the least educated child in my family because I only have a bachelor's degree. Almost everyone else has master's degrees or higher. I've got 2 brothers with doctorates. How are you ever going to pay for those kids? They weren't. God was. God was going to take care of them, and God did. But my parents, giving was always the first priority. Giving well above and beyond 10%. My parents, as young as I can remember, there were always missionary cards on our refrigerator from missionaries that my parents supported out of their own pocket. And my parents didn't make much money. It was about seeking first the kingdom. I remember my parents teaching us to seek first the kingdom. My parents didn't pay us to do chores, but one time they did. Okay, they set up, I still remember, 3 little globes for 3 different missionaries, and if you did your chores, they'd give you a dime, and you could choose which missionary it went to. It didn't go in your pocket. It's the only time they ever paid us to do chores. So they would teach us to give it away. They never have needed anything. Lydia and I, that's the way we live our lives. That's the way all Christians are to live their lives. Seek first the kingdom. Say, what about my bills? Go to our library and check out the autobiography of George Mueller and don't worry about your bills. Just read the book. Trust the Lord. He'll provide your needs. David said, I've never seen the righteous hungry and I've never seen his children begging for food. God says, test me. Try me. In fact, you will find in the Minor Prophets, it speaks about people having financial problems. This is the exact phrase it uses. You earn wages to put it in a bag with holes. You ever feel like that? You feel like your bank account has a leak in it? And you keep putting money in and it just disappears? But the Bible talks about that. You know what it says? The reason it's that way is because you're not seeking first the kingdom. Because you're not living for God and for His glory. Hey, God will meet your needs. But you need to live for Him. Live for His glory. Live for His kingdom. You may be here and you may not be a Christian. You may say, that seems awful ridiculous to give up everything for that. Have you ever heard what God did for you? Have you ever heard of Jesus, the Son of God, who lived in eternal glory with the Father and gave it up for someone who hated Him and turned his back on Him and walked away from Him, who ignored Him, who acted as if He never existed, and yet He went and died and rose again from the dead so that you might have all the benefits of all of God's blessings in your life, so that you might be forgiven, that you might be restored, and you might be reconciled to the Father. Jesus sought first the glory of God. I would invite you to turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ, to trust Him. The Christian life is a life of faith. That you trust God for your eternal destination. You trust Him that what Jesus did on the cross was enough. You trust Him and everything that He has promised. And to be honest with you, if you can trust Jesus with heaven, I think you can trust Jesus with your light bill. He will come through. He will provide. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.